Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. It's been a little hiatus, but we're back in the new year, 2017. And with me, I have kind of a new person, not a priest or a deacon, just a young guy that's the youth minister in New Bremen at the Holy Redeemer Parish, Nick Clooney. Nick, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you?
Great. And this is actually my first live in the studio participant. We did a recording with one of my friends, but unfortunately we lost that with the computer crash. But so this can be the official, like a three-time thing. We got a lay person, we got an in-live studio person, and someone that's under 21.
All right.
But he's experienced a whole heck of a lot, especially in his faith life, in his family growing up, and this beautiful county of Mercer County, God's country, as everyone is telling me, and I've experiencing more and more every single day. So, Nick, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So, I've had some conversations with priests before, and we did a little banter about things. And one time, we talked about the Nintendo Classic game system, and I thought, like, no one was going to buy that thing because it's kind of cheap, kind of small. Only had like 30 games on it and stuff. But then it came out in the middle of November, and it seems like this is the hottest item that anyone wanted to. I think my last 15 years, I probably went to a game store maybe once or twice to help buy a Christmas present for my brother. But during this Christmas break, I think I've gone to GameStop maybe 3 or 4 times just asking to see if they had this system. And they're like, no, you're not going to find that that way. So
on
I
that
guess,
search.
All that search for nothing, for me thinking that it was just kind of an easy thing, and now I'm kind of feeling like a parent that can't find that Christmas present for their child.
Yeah, well, parents shop for themselves too, you know, and they just gotta get that perfect thing. So
it's really kind of funny how much people stress out over Christmas, and we're still in this kind of Christmas season, even though it might feel like eons away. We're only, 12 days removed from Christmas?
And,
almost all the Christmas decorations are completely sold out, and 75% signs are out there. I think I was at Walmart, and Easter candy and Valentine's Day candy was just abound.
Society always stays on top of it, you know, people getting on top of next holiday. What makes me mad though is, you know, Christmas is over, and you see on Christmas Eve, as soon as it happens, like, or not even Christmas Eve, the day after Christmas, people are just like, all right, we're taking down our tree, you know, presents are open. That makes me sad. You know, people can leave up their trees for, I mean, I probably live up for the month of January if I was living with if I wasn't living at home, you know.
Sure.
It's just leave it up there, you know.
Sure. So. And the old rite, before Vatican II, before we changed over to English and things like that, February 2nd was the official end of the Christmas season. So you fit right into that. There's 40 days after Christmas, really kind of a cool experience to just realize our Lord came to this earth in order to save us so we could have relationship with him, to be with him in this eternal life, the next life in heaven.
They probably ran out of readings then for
it's
the
true.
Christmas season.
The Gospels are pretty short. There's not much to record there. I mean, we're just talking from the Gospel of John right now. Saturday's reading is from the Wedding Feast of Cana, which is right before he starts his public ministry. He was just born maybe 13 days ago.
Right.
And then we got him talking to Mary and trying to push him along to help this poor couple that ran out of wine. I could only imagine how a Mercer County wedding would go if we ran out of beer or what is the 7 and 7 or the electric lemonade.
Right.
How much sadness there would be at the party. There hopefully would still be dancing, but
yeah, I'm sure. I mean, there's always dancing.
There's always dancing.
Yeah.
But
square dancing is best.
So. There's a little fuel that helps those dancings along. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Well, Nick, you are, I wouldn't say a celebrity, but just talking to the high school kids when I was in Coldwater and the high school kids that played football and full recovery, adults know who you are. They know who the football players are, and they kind of like relive their glory days when they were in high school, and maybe their teams weren't as good, but they just feel like you kind of hold on the tradition or pass on the tradition of football life. So how was high school for you when you were growing up in Coldwater?
High school was good, and I think the fact that I'm known around the communities and stuff like that kind of is from the fact that my brother is just a year younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I think we become the same person at some point.
Okay.
across, you know, it's like people just think, oh, Nick Clooney or Mitch Clooney, like mm-hmm. who is it? And mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been playing for the past, you know, 5 years.
Okay.
This is the first year that me or him weren't in football. So, you know, we were there for a while. So I think that's what leads to me and him getting our names out there. People have heard my name or his name for a long time now. But, you know, high school was great. High school, growing up in Coldwater is nice to grow up there. And, you know, in anywhere in Mercer County, really, you're going to have basically the same classmates throughout the whole 12 years.
Sure.
You know, 'cause you're from a small community, and that's really, you know, it's really popular in our area. Just, you know, from kindergarten on up, you're going to grow up with the same group of people. But, you know, each of the schools definitely have a similar, like, you know, once you go from eighth grade to high school, that's a big transition.
Sure,
so,
yeah. Middle school, elementary school moves, and then you go to that high school. Yeah.
Right. So it's not quite as big as the cities, you know, where you mm-hmm. completely change schools, but there's definitely a difference there, and mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of kids, that's where I personally found like sort of a distancing in like my faith life, or distancing mm-hmm. in how I was talking to people, relating with people, because mm-hmm. I was in this new atmosphere, I was with all these people,
sure.
I was the lowest rank instead of being, you know, top dog.
Right,
and
that
eighth
big
grade.
Eighth grader, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big eighth grade thinks he rules everything, you know, stuff like that, mm-hmm. but, you know, once you get into high school, you sort of lose that status, you lose sort of a sense of who you are. You're trying to find out who you are again, and I definitely fell into that category growing mm-hmm. up, and I know a lot of people do. I mean, high school was still great. I had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of buddies that I talked to, but there's definitely that distancing that I noticed in my life, you know, where...
With your Catholic faith
my identity,
okay.
really.
Okay.
And, you know, my identity played a big role, or my Catholic faith played a big role in my identity, you know. And once I got into high school, I sort of dropped all that, and it led me down the road, and... there's definitely a time where I was just confused whereas I had a direction in life.
Sure,
so,
sure. Yeah. I mean, having all these hormones, all this peer pressure, there's just all kinds of stuff that kind of weighs down high school people. And then you kind of are known in the community as a football player, and that kind of all just kind of weighs on you, and you don't really know what person you are, and you're trying to not necessarily reinvent yourself, but you're trying to, you know, present yourself as a certain way to make yourself fit in. And if that kind of goes against some ethics that we grew up with, then we say okay to that sometimes.
Right,
and
right.
we just don't know where else to go and how to kind of figure out our life and how we're connected to people.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely, I think it's a pretty popular trend. I've seen it with a lot of my buddies who, you know, I went to youth group with them in 7th to 8th grade, and then we get into high school, and, you know, like you're saying, like, they sort of lose that, you know, this is what my faith's teaching, this is what society's trying to tell me to do, and they sort of lead that direction, and, yeah, so that's definitely something I saw in high school a lot of, you know, and even experienced in my own life, but there's definitely, you know, going to youth group myself in high school, mm-hmm. I didn't do it the first couple of years, but I had a friend who brought me back to youth group, and just experiencing faith through other people I knew throughout high school was, you know, another turning point in my life. You know, high school was great, like I said, but like there's definitely a jungle of different things going on, you know, with football, with, you know, people just, you know, influencing you in all sorts of directions.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So would you say there was a kind of a turning point or a point in your life, probably during high school, that you I don't know, encounter Jesus Christ, or we're able to just say, this is who I am. I'm a son of God.
Yeah. So, I mean, backtracking before high school, okay. Really.
Sure, definitely.
Me and my family, since I was like 7, we've been going to this place called Catholic Family Land. And it sounds
Catholic Family Land.
Yeah, it sounds like a Jesus theme park. You know, like,
are there roller coasters?
Yeah, people ask that all the time when I talk to them. Like, so is this like roller coasters? And I'm like, well, there's the John the Baptist water slide, which is kind of like a roller coaster. It's like 900 feet, like, and you just go like when you go down it. But it's not quite a theme park, you know. And they always ask that, but it's a place for like retreats for families. And
wow.
Going on the retreat the first time, I was seven. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on. My mom's like, "Whoop, we're going. We're going to do it." I knew a few things. I knew my dad was upset about it. I knew my two older sisters were upset about it. Like, why are we going to this week-long family Jesus-free camp thing? Like,
sure.
What is this?
What the heck is going on here?
Right. And they were...
Vacation's supposed to take God out of it. You're not supposed to have God all the time in your vacation. That sounds crazy.
Right. But they were... My sisters were maybe 14 or 15 at the time, so, I mean, they were right in that freshman high school range.
Sure, okay.
And they just weren't having it. My second oldest sister was like, this is the lamest thing ever. Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And so we go, because my mom's like, we're going to do this. We're
going to
go.
And mom says what she's going to do, and it happens.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going, and the first time we went there, we're pulling a big camper behind us in our big red van, and... You know, it's a big 12-passenger van, and all of a sudden we blow a tire on the camper.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, shoot. So my dad gets out, and I get out. I'm 7, what am I going to do? You know, just watch him work on the tire, and he's sitting there huffing and puffing the whole time, cussing under his breath. He's just angry. He's like, why are we coming to this stupid place? It's in the hills of Ohio.
Sure.
It's just, so he's, like, angry. But as we're sitting there on the side of the road, we're about maybe... a mile, 2 miles away from this Catholic Family Land.
Really?
Place.
Not too far away. Gosh.
Yeah. And people who are going to the Catholic Family Land for this retreat are stopping by, and they're like, oh, can we help you? And my dad's like, no, we're fine. Like, he's just like, we're fine. And
don't mess with me. I can't handle people right now.
Right. So he does that, and as soon as they get by, you know, he's just like still like huffing and puffing. He's getting angry, but I guess maybe 5 or 6 people stopped and they're like, "Are you fine? Can we help you at all?" And
is not a normal interaction on the road. You seem to always want people to help you out, but they never are there to help.
Right. So, and eventually, we got the tire changed out, fixed up, and it is a pretty hilly part of Ohio. It's 20 minutes north of Steubenville, mm-hmm. So. We get to the campsite, we get unfolded, we get packed up, or unpacked and everything, and we're there. And my sisters heard about this thing called Destiny Generation. They're like, what is this? Like,
sure.
It sounds pretty lame. You know, we get there, and we're talking, and they're like, this is a lame thing. Like, why were we talking about Destiny Generation? I don't want to go to that. But then, so they just sit in the camper and don't really do anything. These people start coming camper to camper, and they like knock on the door and like, hey, Destiny Generation starts in a little bit. You want to come?
Mm-hmm.
My sister's like, no, we'll just hang back. And then a little bit later, my parents, like they do in every family vacation, mm-hmm. they start bickering, you know, about you know, about something not being set up right, mm-hmm. something about this or that, mm-hmm. and they just start fighting. And my sister's like, okay, never mind, we're gonna go to the Destiny Generation thing.
Sure.
We don't want to listen to this. So
I have to listen to this enough at home. I can't handle that in vacation. Sure.
Right. So they do that, and my parents are fighting the whole time. I think me and my brother were 6, 7, and 6 at the time, so we're like running into trees or something, mm-hmm. you know, doing something derpy like 7-year-olds would do. And my parents are fighting, and like it's typical family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But the next morning we wake up, and the first thing we do is go to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, Mass on a Monday? Like, right. What is this?
It's so, not Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So we go, and the strangest thing happened, though. Like, when we got back from Mass, my parents didn't fight, like, the rest of vacation. It was
really?
Just, like, as soon as that moment, after we got through the Mass service and everything like that, you know, they were just calm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the place graced them.
Mm. Wow.
And it graces everyone that goes. Like,
sure.
You might not notice it, like, because it looks like a typical campsite. You roll in, and, mm-hmm. the only thing that's different is the people that are there. You know, there's sure. tons of people there, and they're all smiling, and they all kind of look freaky because they're all like super happy, and it's just like I don't see this, but and the norm there is a 12-passenger van. You know, everyone has big families.
Yeah. So if you don't have 8 kids, you're just kind of slacking.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, it was a great place. Because, I mean, the fact that my parents were graced and they didn't really fight much there, but also the fact that, like, you know, it was for families. Mm-hmm. You know, kids had stuff to do the whole time. You know, there's sure. basketball tournaments going on. There's softball tournaments going on. There's volleyball tournaments. And, you know, whatever it is, there's, you know, stuff for the kids to do. Mm-hmm. Even, like, chess tournaments or whatever it is.
Sure. Anything that kids are interested in, there's something for everyone to do. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, but, you know, back to what we were talking about, you know, the first time I had a big conversion in my life was probably at Catholic Family.
Really?
I was 12 when it happened. So okay. we went back about every other year. Okay. And the time when I went was 12. When I was 12, we went there. And, yeah, so, like, 12 was the big moment in life where we got to go and we got to meet up. What's that?
Destiny Out, is that right?
Destiny, yeah, oh, Destiny Generation Out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a big moment where, you know, Destiny Generation was this exclusive teen club thing sure. out there, and it was one of the first years that I got to be part of that. And I went out there, and I was expecting, you know, big things to happen. Mm-hmm. And the whole week I was hearing all these things, like, God's going to change your life, He's going to do these things, He's going to talk to you, and He's going to... and make you a better person, and it's going to be awesome. And I was hearing that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to buy into this. That's cool.
Sure.
So the big night was like Thursday night, I think, or something around there, Thursday, one of the last days of the week. And there's a big adoration night. Mm. So, you know, I went into the adoration night thinking, okay, God's going to talk to me. You know,
yeah.
this is it. I really didn't understand what adoration was at that time in my life. Like, they explained it to me, but I was 12, so it sort of went over my head.
Sure.
And, you know, we're sitting there talking. Or they talked to us about it, and we went into adoration for that time of prayer. And I was praying, and I'm like, okay, God's going to talk to me. He's going to talk to me. This is it. This is the big moment.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was like that for like the whole hour that we had it. And then adoration was over. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I didn't hear anything. Like, this is lame. So, like, I was like angry at that point.
Sure.
I was just like angry that, you know, God hadn't talked to me.
Well, people built this up so much for you that your life was going to change because Jesus was in the monstrance and the host, and He was going to talk to you and completely change your life. And that didn't happen.
Right, right. So I was super, super bitter at that point, and I got onto the bus to go back to the campus, the main campus. There's two different campuses there, and we're going back. And all the people next to me, like, all the kids are like, all the 12-year-olds are like, oh, did you hear God's voice? Yeah, it was awesome. And, like, I'm hearing this the whole time. Uh-huh. And it's just like, oh, gosh, this is terrible. Like, I'm just getting more frustrated as it goes on. And I get back to my campsite, and my parents, like, ask me, so how'd it go? And I'm like, it went fine. And then I, like, booked it to my bedroom, which was, like, in the camper, like, the one section bunk, like, that you get to yourself.
So sure.
I book it there and, like, lay down there, and I'm just upset and 12 and... you know, when you're 12, you get upset and you just cry because, like, you don't know what to do with life. So, like, you sit there, and I was just, you know, disappointed that nothing happened. And maybe after half an hour of this, you know, I was trying to fall asleep, nothing happening. Then it sort of hit me, like, out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't, like, a voice like me talking to you, but it was something, like, deep in the recesses of my mind where I heard for the first time in my life very clearly God speaking to me saying, you don't need to try that hard to hear my voice.
Wow.
So, and that was the only time that's ever happened to me in my life. Like, to this date, like,
sure.
to hear something that explicitly clear. From the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was not only the voice that I heard, but the feeling that came with it, you know, just this overwhelming sense of peace and certainty that that was God.
Wow.
Like, it just overwhelmed me, and, like, I just sat there and I was just embracing God's moment. And then about 5 minutes later, I'm like, all right, sleep time. So, like, it was awesome, though.
So, yeah, you have this moment with God. But the whole idea of this Catholic Family Land kind of is trying to help make families more Catholic, learn more about their faith, and how to be a family. It's just a beautiful time Like you said, it was kind of really unsure what was going on when you first went. Families were bickering and stuff, but then the grace of that place kind of went through there. My family first went in 1992 when I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
And they were Catholic, but they didn't really embrace the faith like they do today. And I kind of attribute that to help really foster my priesthood. So we've gone many, many years. And the last time I went was last year when I had a little break between ordination and my assignment here in Full Recovery. So I kind of came there and gave back and heard confessions and just saw how much this place has grown. And I know many families that are listening here, their struggles. I mean, family life is really, really tough. And vacation, you want the best for your kids. You pay all this money to go on these great adventures and stuff like that. But the fulfillment isn't necessarily there. This place, it doesn't really cost that much if you look at a typical vacation, but you can get a lot of fulfillment out of it. And you don't have to try hard to do it, just like Nick was saying that he was trying his darndest to hear God's voice and just like have his life change. Right. I think I just encourage you guys to look into it, check it out, and if you feel called to go to this place, God will bless you and give you grace and definitely really encourage you to kind of live as a Catholic family more than you are today. Their website is afc.com, and I think they're actually taking pre-registrations right now. But if you have any questions about that, you're more than welcome to email or talk to me or find Nick at Holy Redeemer in New Bremen. I'm sure their email address is on the website, right?
Definitely. Yeah. On the website right there. So,
So this moment kind of came, and then high school came. You're kind of not drifting and stuff, but not sure what you're finding your identity. You started going to youth group. You probably were growing a little bit more in your faith. And I know there is something that you brought back from Catholic Family Land to our youth group at Coldwater. Can you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So out at Catholic Family Land, I went my high school years as well after I had that big conversion story and whatnot. But one of the cool things they sort of added to the Destiny Generation over the years was a thing called the Crosswalk. And the Crosswalk was a really, really awesome and powerful event. What you do is you go outside, typically outside. It's the only place big enough to do it. So you get blindfolded, you walk out, and you're basically led through the five sorrowful mysteries of Jesus' passion.
Wow.
So, like, you start off with, they say it's the agony of the garden, but like, it's more or less just people pushing you around, like telling you all these bad things. They're kind of like a group of demons, like sort of what Jesus would probably going through, like when he's praying by himself, like, why are you doing this, Jesus? Why are you doing that? And you're getting pushed by these people that you have no idea who they are, but you're blindfolded and you're walking through and they're pushing you back and forth and they're saying all these different things. And then, there's this one person that sticks out and they're sort of like Satan slash the narrator of this crosswalk. And they say, get up, Jesus, you know, follow me. So they start leading you, and they lead you through all these different mysteries of the mysteries of the sorrowful mysteries. And, you know, it's the scourging at the pillar, there's the crowning of the thorns, it's carrying of the cross, and eventually leads to, you know, the crucifixion, of course. And each of the stations, you know, super realistic. You know, they do, like, the whipping right next to you, but it's, like, on a picnic table that's held upright, so it's, like, you know, it's near you, but it's they're not actually hitting you. But like, you can get the sense, like, and the whole time the narrator is just saying all these things. You know, this is why Jesus died. Except you're sort of taking the place of Jesus. You know, you died for, you know, died for all these different sins. You died for people, you know, betraying you, going against you. You know, so
so you're feeling the way, the passion of Christ in a more tangible way, a more physical way,
right?
And it just, I'm sure that had some sort of eternal effect on you that you'll always remember.
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. Because after you get done, it's just that feeling, like, because they read at the end, you know, Jesus dies, and they read at the end, but that's not the end of the story. You know, Jesus came back, Jesus rose, and he did all of that for you, and he'd do it all again just for you. And after experiencing it in such a personal way, mm-hmm. like, you know, it makes you, you know, like you said, change. Like, mm-hmm. you know, changes you forever. You go mm-hmm. back and back to the time of prayer that I had, like, that's all I reflected on was, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus going through all that pain, all that misery just for me. And it was a powerful effect.
Sure. So you brought that, you had to kind of convince the youth minister in Coldwater to do it. But I think that was just a really powerful night for many of the kids at that youth group. Probably touched a lot of the hearts there. Yeah. You did that your senior year?
That was, yeah, probably my senior year. Okay. Going in, yeah, the summer of my senior year.
Okay. So you had another year to go.
Yeah.
So getting more involved in youth ministry, playing football, things are kind of looking up for you. But what were your thoughts like going out of high school? Were you plan on going to college? Did you kind of have a plan? Like, were you good enough to be scouted, or how did that all kind of work out?
Yeah, so ever since, like, my junior high years, I was pretty dead set, like, okay, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to play football. That's what I want to do. It doesn't matter if it's D3 or D2 or, like, a small school, I want to play football in college. So that was my mindset for most of junior high, most of high school. And about my junior year, I got hurt on football, actually. Mm. So I was playing down in Columbus at a place called Bishop Partley, and I went to make a tackle, and I dislocated my shoulder. It was like a routine play. I got super angry about it because it's just like, okay, well, now I'm out. And originally, they thought I was going to be out for the season. They said, like, a torn rotator cuff or a torn deltoid off the muscle.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'm done with the season. Mm-hmm. So I was super, you know, put off by that, and eventually I found out it was just a dislocated shoulder from the doctors, and they said you can play in 3 weeks. But still, it was 3 weeks off of football, all I'd known for a long time. Right. So, you know, after that moment, I really thought about, like, you know, is this something that I want to pursue in college? You know, is this something I want to do? Mm-hmm. This injury sort of, you know, shook me up from that decision. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started think about, like, what else would I want to do in life, you know? Mm-hmm. So computer science and computers always interested me, and that's something that I was thinking about doing, you know, go to school, play football, do computer science, you know, live family, had it all mapped up.
Sure.
You know,
make a lot of money.
Exactly. So good to go. And after that injury, I just started thinking about what do I really want to do? Like, you know, football, it'd be fun. I would love to do it. And my senior year, I did get some, like, college D3 schools come in, and I talk to them. And
sure.
They, you know, they like that prospect of someone from the Mighty Mac coming to play, play football for them. So, you know, I talked to them, and, you know, it just didn't feel right. You know, I wanted some visits, and really didn't really think that was the direction my life was supposed to head. I didn't think God was calling me down that path. Eventually, along the road, you know, doing the crosswalk, you know, having those experiences at Catholic Family, youth ministry started really speaking to me. And after a retreat, late into my junior year, after football had been over and done with for the year, I was on a retreat called Cast Your Nets. Still popular.
It's an archdiocesan vocation kind of deal, yeah.
Right. So I was listening to Ryan Lopez. I don't know if you know Rilo.
Good old Rilo,
Yeah, so Ryan Lopez, his real name's actually Lawrence. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I don't know if he wants people to know that, but
well, now we know. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be all over the internet.
Exactly. So, but Ryan Lopez was the headline speaker at Cast Your Nets, and he was speaking, and you know, that's something I want to do. I want to get into ministry. I want to talk to people. I want them to know God as much as I've known God from my conversions and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I talked to him afterwards, and I asked him how he got involved with that. And he said, I did this program called Net Ministries. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. So I started looking into Net, started scrolling through it along with my different college options. And I was weighing it back and forth my whole senior year, like, do I want to do Net? And at one point, like, I nixed it out. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this. Like, all the people on Net are, like, these happy-go-lucky people that, you know, like, if I was around those people who were happy all the time like that, I'd lose my mind. Like, it was insane. So I nixed it off my list for a while, and then, like, I kept looking back at it, and I kept, you know, just feeling like maybe this is something I should do. And I went on a couple different college visits. I went to Dayton, down in University of Dayton. I went to Steubenville, and I went to all these different places.
Sure.
And they just didn't feel right. You know? I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there.
Right.
So eventually the net thing came back up, and I was looking up more information about it, and I went on a retreat to interview for it. And it was a long application process, but eventually I got through, and you know, I felt like God was calling me to do this. Mm-hmm. And in the December of my senior year, that's when I went into that retreat. And the thing about the retreat was they talked about net for about 2 hours, maybe.
Okay.
But the second half of the retreat, the other 2 days that the whole retreat was, that was just a personal retreat.
Oh, wow.
It was
great.
Just to, you know, get you on fire for your faith.
Uh-huh.
So that was really helpful, you know, just to be able to go through that experience. And that's sort of what sold me over. Like, okay, that's more about, you know, this personal relationship with God.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah, than it is about the fundamentals, like, you know, we got to do this, got to do that type of deal thing. So that sold me over. And probably in February of my senior year, I decided, okay, I'm going to do net. That's what I do. I accept it.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted me, and I accepted their acceptance, however that works.
Sure, yeah.
So,
you guys mutually wanted to work with each other.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
good stuff, yeah. So what did you do during that year of net? Or how did that work? When did that start? And
right.
Where did you travel to? Things like that.
So NET is based out of St. Paul, Minnesota. So a good 12-hour drive. Me and my parents found that out when we drove up
gosh.
There. So, yeah, we drove up there, and I went there. And the first thing that they put you through is 5 weeks of training.
Okay.
And the first 2 weeks, just like the interview weekend, was just based on personal growth.
Okay.
You know? The big motto during that time was you can't give what you don't have. So, you know, going up there and just be able to work in that relationship with God for the first 2 weeks. They put you in the small groups. You got to know a small group of people. There's 150 missionaries there with you training at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, just be able to talk to them. It was good to just realize, you know, there's other people that are willing to, you know, grow in their faith, to be up there and, you know, just chat about these different things, you know, talk about how they can grow in faith. And then the last 3 months of training, or last month, 3 weeks of training, excuse me, is just based on ministry. So NET's main focus is grades 6 through 12.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty good grades to kind of work with.
Yeah.
To just, you can have an impression on them and really work with them well.
Right. Yeah. So it was good to, you know, get into those, you know, those, that ministry training. And then after that, they sent you, they pick you, put you on teams about two and a half weeks into training. So they put you onto teams. And so when you get on these teams, like, you may have been talking to some people during training, but there's a very likely chance that you didn't know anyone.
Sure.
So, like,
yeah.
That was the case for me. I knew maybe one person on my team who's a part of my small group that I had been training with, but I really didn't know him super well. So we had about 2 weeks to get to know each other, but those 2 weeks were jam-packed full of ministry training. So after that, they put you in a van, 12-passenger van. So me and my 11 other teammates hit the road, and I'm like, I don't know half these people's names. Like I know I was with them for 2 weeks, so like that's probably an overstatement. I think I had their names down by that point, but maybe I still had a couple of them where I'd mix up their names or something like that. But like, you know, these people are complete strangers to me. I met them at the best 5 weeks ago.
Wow,
you know?
Sure.
So we hit the road, and we're gonna, what they do, what NET does, is 9 months of youth ministry, like I was saying, minister to the 6th through 12th grade. So we hit the road and we start doing retreats.
In Minnesota or?
So NET's a national-based organization.
Okay.
So all my teammates were actually from all over, and we were going to go all over.
Okay.
So like the furthest person away from Ohio that was on my team was, her name was Kylie. She was from Washington.
Wow. Okay.
Or like, I had a teammate, Diego, who was from Florida, originally from Ecuador. So, like, people from all over the place. And we went all over, too. So, we started off in Minnesota, and then we went over to Wisconsin. We hit up Michigan, like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the part that no one really knows about. At least I didn't know about it.
Yeah, Marquette Diocese.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, and then, we went up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We went through North Dakota and South Dakota. Got to see Mount Rushmore, which was pretty cool. And then we went to Iowa for a little bit. And that was the first half of the year. And then the second half of the year, we had a complete flip of schedule. So, like, the whole first half year was, like, Mercer County.
Okay.
Except expanded across, like...
Oh, all these different states.
States. It's, like, the Midwest. Nice. That's all it is. Especially, like, North Dakota and South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Like, you see there's more cows there than there are people, like, everywhere. So...
Farmland.
Exactly.
Miles.
Mm-hmm. So, the second half year was, like I said, was flipped. So, I went to Chicago, super populated for mm-hmm. a month. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Jersey, and then we went to, like, Philadelphia, mm-hmm. went to Pittsburgh, went to Washington, D.C., and all these different, you know, bigger city areas. And I think we went, yeah, we went to D.C., went to Maryland, Virginia, and we went to New York, too. So, like, it was all East Coast stuff.
So this whole time you were doing all these retreats, but then trying to get to know these people that were on your team, problem solving, probably different difficulties that were going along the way, but probably growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ, with others, and just having that community, that Christian Catholic community that you were probably yearning for, that you really haven't experienced in that kind of intense way before.
Right, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting year, because what they said on in training was, this year, you know, you may be doing this because, you know, you can help out all these youth, but this year is going to be more about you mm-hmm. and your personal growth. Mm-hmm. And they, like, don't think it's a selfish thing. Mm-hmm. It's just how you're going to help out those you encounter mm-hmm. the best. If you develop a personal life with Jesus, that's the best way you can share it with someone, is if they see that you desire God mm-hmm. and they see that, that's how they're going to start. Okay, maybe these people will see, you know, this greater thing. They see that they're living for Jesus. That's how the youth are going to be inspired to live for God. And yeah, that rang very true throughout the whole year. Like, it was a constantly growing, you know, being one of the six guys on my team. You know, I had that great brotherhood, that great, you know, mm-hmm. fellowship there where I could talk to them. We talked about prayer. We talked about mm-hmm. struggles in prayer, and we played football together, you know, all those things, you know. It wasn't just about God. It was about, you know, growing together as people.
Living life and how to just incorporate our relationship with God, Jesus right. Christ, in that—that's awesome.
Right, and it was, you know, it was a great year. I mean, there was definitely some struggles.
Sure,
but you know, the beautiful thing about struggles is, like, you can grow from them.
Definitely, yeah. You can learn a whole heck of a lot about yourself.
Yeah,
in that way.
Definitely,
and I'm sure there's people in your boat that are in high school or maybe a little bit older that just kind of, they don't know what the next step is. They don't know where to go from there. Like, college kind of sounds like a good idea, but they don't want to shell out all that money to do something they're not really sure about. And that Net Ministries helped you grow as a person, helped you kind of get life on track and kind of have a better vision and know more about yourself. Would you say yes to that?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. So I just encourage people out there that kind of in this kind of lifestyle, the age, they set ages up to
18 to 28.
So there's a good range out there. And just, if you're not sure what's going on, maybe check this out. And it can do a lot of good and help you. And maybe you can even find your spouse or your vocation as you go along that. I know you probably can't date while you're on Net Ministries, but you probably get close to some people. And I don't know. It's a really good time. And I think, is it just netministries.com?
Netministries.org, I believe.
Netministries.org.
Yeah.
You can definitely check that out. And don't hesitate to contact Nick, and he can definitely help you out through the process, because it probably takes a little bit to kind of figure out how to apply and whatnot in an interview and stuff like that. But just another opportunity, because some people just don't know what to do next, and this might be a year just to kind of take time and go to that.
Yeah, I was looking for computer science football lifestyle before that, and then afterwards, now I'm going to the Lake Campus because it's cheap, you know, that's
right?
a good place to go. But I'm also looking completely different career options too, and I'm looking into psychology and counseling, and I credit a lot of that to Net, you know, because I got to do a lot of personal discerning in my life, you know, really thinking about, like you were saying, you know, thinking about what do I want to do in life, instead of taking that first step into college, realizing that I was going to do something that I really necessarily didn't want to do. Net gave me the opportunity to look back and reflect, you know, this is what I want to do. So,
and you're still using your youth ministry skills by being youth minister at New Bremen. So you're actually getting paid to what you learned in Net Ministries.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will help you not incur as many college expenses that you would have, whether otherwise not working.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, it was really awesome to hear just these life moments that you have experienced with our Lord, this constant growth in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes, I think, a lot of time to just reflect on where Jesus was in our lives. If you just look at that, at the current now, it's really kind of hard to see how God's hand was moving and how God's hand was working. But once you kind of reflect on your life or hear how other people reflected on their life, you can really see God working in many, many ways. So I want to thank everyone out there for listening. I also want to thank Nick for coming to join us with the chat with Father Matt. If you have a subject that you'd like to discuss with me or my friends and the different priests I have on, feel free to email me at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at the Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in again for the next week with the chat with Father Matt.